Welcome back to the Crypto Daily. Today we're diving into the fascinating story of Gaius Chibueze, aka Bitcoin Chief, a US-based Nigerian investor who's made a name for himself in the crypto world. He's had quite the journey, from music to millions. So let's explore how Bitcoin transformed his life.
It's a classic crypto success story with a unique twist. Gaius's entry point through multi-level marketing highlights how interconnected these networks can be. His fascination with Bitcoin scarcity is a common thread among early adopters, but his timing, buying in at $35, is truly remarkable.
Absolutely. That early investment paved the way for his million-dollar fortune when Bitcoin's price exploded in 2017. But it's not just about the money. He's also critical of the Nigerian government's stance on cryptocurrency, seeing it as a missed opportunity.
His point about Nigeria missing out is well taken. Many governments initially resisted crypto, but some are now realizing its potential. Gaius's advocacy for embracing, rather than fighting, this technology is something we're seeing more of globally.
And his move to the US. He frames it as pursuing the American dream, but it also speaks to the regulatory landscape and the opportunities available in different markets.
Exactly. The US has become a hub for crypto innovation, attracting entrepreneurs and investors alike. It's interesting how Gaius has leveraged his marketing background to promote crypto, showing the transferable skills in this dynamic space.
From rapper to building Tech City Africa, his story is a testament to the transformative power of technology and the potential for innovation, particularly in emerging markets.
He's almost a case study in portfolio diversification, moving from music to crypto trading, app development, and now real estate and agriculture. His vision for Tech City Africa is ambitious, and it will be interesting to see if it can truly become a Silicon Valley of Africa.
So, we've talked about individual cryptocurrencies, but what about broader exposure to the crypto market? Jeff Yass's investment strategy offers an interesting perspective.
Absolutely. He's focusing on companies like Coinbase and MicroStrategy, which provide access to the crypto ecosystem without directly holding specific coins.
Coinbase, as a crypto exchange, is an intriguing play. It benefits from transaction fees, regardless of which cryptocurrencies are trending.
It's like investing in the picks and shovels during a gold rush. They profit from the activity, not necessarily the price of gold itself.
And MicroStrategy, with its substantial Bitcoin holdings, offers a more direct, albeit volatile, bet on Bitcoin's future.
It's a unique approach, essentially turning a software company into a Bitcoin proxy. It's a high-risk, high-reward strategy.
This brings up another important point: governance. How much influence do investors actually have in the crypto space?
It's a critical question. While projects like Decred offer on-chain voting, others like Bitcoin and Ethereum rely on off-chain community discussions, which can be less transparent and inclusive.
So investors need to understand the governance mechanisms before jumping in. It's not just about the technology, it's about how decisions are made and who has the power.
Precisely. And the recent political commentary on crypto adds another layer of complexity. Regulation and adoption could significantly impact the market.
So stablecoin supply isn't the sole driver of Bitcoin's price. It's more nuanced, right?
Exactly. While a larger stablecoin market cap could suggest more potential buying power, it's where those stablecoins reside that matters. If they're not on exchanges, they're not readily available to pump Bitcoin prices. They're being used as a store of value, especially in countries with high inflation, almost like a digital dollar substitute.
Which makes Bitcoin's relative stability against tech stocks even more interesting. Tesla, AMD, Nvidia, all more volatile than Bitcoin in October. That challenges the narrative of Bitcoin as the Wild West of finance.
It does. Increased institutional adoption, the rise of Bitcoin ETFs, and growing integration with traditional markets are contributing factors. It's becoming a more mature asset. And as we see more platforms offering cross-collateralization between equities and crypto, the correlation between their volatilities might increase.
So is Bitcoin becoming a safe haven asset, almost a digital gold in a volatile tech landscape?
Potentially. While still influenced by market forces, its volatility compared to high-growth tech stocks suggests a shift. It's not immune to fluctuations, but the data indicates a growing stability, reflecting institutional confidence and its evolving role in the financial ecosystem.
So another brick-and-mortar retailer embracing crypto. This time it's Sheetz, expanding its partnership with Flexa to accept digital currencies at over 750 locations.
Interesting move, especially their focus on stablecoins. It aligns with the broader trend we're seeing, using crypto not just for speculation, but for everyday transactions. Remember, Sheetz dipped their toes in with Bitcoin back in 2021. Now, they're diving deeper, offering more options like Ether and Litecoin, but significantly, stablecoins like USDC.
It's a strategic play. Given the regulatory uncertainty around other cryptocurrencies, focusing on stablecoins allows them to offer the benefits of digital payments: speed, security, lower transaction fees, without the volatility risk.
Exactly. And it taps into the growing demand for stablecoin use cases, particularly for payments. This isn't just about attracting crypto enthusiasts. It's about providing a practical alternative payment method for a wider customer base. Think about the potential for cross-border transactions or micropayments, areas where traditional systems are less efficient.
The interesting thing is the geographical focus. Sheetz operates primarily in states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, which, according to Andreessen Horowitz's report, have seen a surge in crypto interest. They're strategically targeting a receptive demographic.
Smart move. It's not just about adopting technology, it's about aligning with consumer demand and market trends. This expansion could be a significant indicator of broader mainstream adoption of crypto payments, particularly stablecoins, in the everyday retail landscape.
So UBS, a major player in traditional finance, is launching a tokenized fund on the Ethereum blockchain. This isn't just another pilot program. They're going full steam ahead after a successful trial last year. What's the significance of this, especially considering their focus on a money market fund?
It's a watershed moment. UBS is essentially bridging the gap between traditional finance and the crypto world. By tokenizing a money market fund, they're opening up access to a wider pool of investors and potentially streamlining the investment process. Think about the efficiency gains: reduced paperwork, faster settlement times, and potentially lower fees.
And it's not just about efficiency. Tokenization offers increased transparency and security through blockchain technology. Investors can have a clearer view of their holdings and transactions.
Absolutely. And this move by UBS could have a ripple effect. Other traditional financial institutions might follow suit, accelerating the adoption of tokenized assets. It's also a vote of confidence for Ethereum, solidifying its position as a leading platform for tokenization.
It's interesting to see this happening now, given the increasing regulatory scrutiny around crypto. UBS seems to be navigating this landscape carefully, choosing a relatively stable asset class like a money market fund to tokenize. It's a strategic move that could pave the way for future tokenization efforts in traditional finance.
Definitely. This is a calculated move by UBS, balancing innovation with risk management. It will be interesting to see how this impacts the broader crypto market, especially Ethereum's price, and whether it encourages further institutional adoption of blockchain technology.
So, continuing our discussion on institutional moves in the crypto space, let's talk about the Fed's recent rate cut and its potential impact on the crypto market. Vishal Sachindran from Binance argues it's a bullish signal.
Yes, and it's a complex relationship. Lower interest rates generally mean more liquidity, which can flow into riskier assets like crypto. Historically, we've seen a correlation between rate cuts and Bitcoin rallies. Sachindran points to the 2020-2022 period as an example.
But isn't this time different? The macro environment is much more uncertain, and inflation is still a concern. Could the rate cut be interpreted as a sign of economic weakness, potentially dampening investor enthusiasm?
That's a valid point. While the increased liquidity is good for crypto, the underlying reasons for the rate cut could be cause for concern. It's a balancing act. Sachindran also mentions the Bitcoin halving and seasonal trends as potential catalysts for a rally, but those are independent factors.
It's also interesting that he highlights the potential for a surge in Bitcoin as an inflation hedge if the rate cut fuels inflation. It creates a sort of feedback loop. What are the risks here for crypto investors?
The biggest risk is over-optimism. The market might already be pricing in the rate cut, so the impact could be muted. Also, if the economy takes a downturn, even with increased liquidity, investors might pull back from riskier assets, including crypto.
So it's not a guaranteed win for crypto. Investors need to be cautious and consider the broader economic context. It's a fascinating interplay between monetary policy, macroeconomic conditions, and the unique dynamics of the crypto market.
Precisely. It's a multifaceted situation with both opportunities and risks. Due diligence and a nuanced understanding of the market are crucial.
Let's shift gears and talk about some interesting market dynamics. We've got BlockDAG making waves with its 100% bonus, a billion-dollar tokenized fund launching on the XRP ledger, and Polkadot trying to find its footing. What's your take on these developments?
It's a fascinating mix of stories. BlockDAG's bonus is a clever move to incentivize participation during its presale, especially given its impressive 2100% price increase since batch one. It's a bold strategy, but it seems to be working, given their growing community. The XRP Ledger news is significant. A billion-dollar tokenized fund is a major vote of confidence in the platform and its ability to handle real-world assets. This could be a catalyst for wider adoption of the XRP Ledger for institutional-grade tokenization.
And what about Polkadot? It seems to be in a holding pattern.
Yes, hovering around that $4 support level. The technical indicators suggest a potential breakout, but it's crucial for it to hold that support. If it breaks down, we could see further downside. It's a critical juncture for Polkadot.
So we've got BlockDAG playing the incentive game, XRP Ledger attracting institutional money, and Polkadot facing a make-or-break moment. It's a microcosm of the broader crypto market. Different projects, different strategies, different levels of maturity. It'll be interesting to see how these stories unfold in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. It highlights the diverse landscape of the crypto space and the different value propositions each project offers. Investors need to be discerning and understand the underlying fundamentals and risks associated with each.
So, moving on to a story that's been brewing in the Ethereum community. Two prominent Ethereum Foundation researchers, Dankrod Feist and Justin Drake, have stepped down from their advisory roles at EigenLayer amidst concerns over conflicts of interest.
Yes, this has been a significant point of contention. EigenLayer, for those unfamiliar, is a restaking platform built on Ethereum. Essentially, it allows users to restake their ETH to secure other applications, leveraging Ethereum's security. Feist and Drake's involvement raised eyebrows due to their positions at the Ethereum Foundation and the allocation of eigentokens they received for their advisory roles.
It does raise questions about potential influence, especially given the Ethereum Foundation's role in guiding the network's development. Some community members feared that this could give EigenLayer undue sway over Ethereum's roadmap.
Exactly. The optics weren't great, despite both researchers stating they acted in good faith. This situation underscores the growing pains of the crypto industry as it grapples with establishing clear guidelines around conflicts of interest. It's a nascent space, and these kinds of situations will likely continue to arise as it matures.
It's interesting that Drake has also decided to forego all future advisorships and investments. It seems he's taking a strong stance to demonstrate his commitment to neutrality within the Ethereum ecosystem.
It's a significant move, and it will be interesting to see if other prominent figures in the space follow suit. This sets a precedent, and it could influence how future projects manage relationships with key figures within specific blockchain communities.
Argentina's crypto landscape is undergoing a significant transformation. New regulations are targeting virtual asset service providers, requiring them to report transactions exceeding 6 times the minimum wage. While this aims to increase transparency and combat illicit activities, it's creating friction for users.
It's a delicate balancing act. Argentina has seen impressive crypto adoption, partly driven by high inflation and distrust in traditional finance. These regulations, while well-intentioned, could push users towards peer-to-peer transactions, making oversight more challenging.
The Blanqueo program, allowing Argentinians to declare previously undeclared assets, including crypto, adds another layer of complexity. It will be interesting to see how this impacts crypto adoption rates in the long run. Some argue that Binance registering as a VASP is opportunistic for the government, while others believe it legitimizes the industry.
The key question is whether these regulations will stifle innovation or foster a more sustainable crypto ecosystem. The increased compliance costs for VASPs could hinder their ability to onboard new users, potentially slowing down overall growth. The sentiment among users seems to be a mix of cautious optimism and concern over data privacy.
It's a developing situation, and we'll continue to monitor its impact on Argentina's crypto future. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in.